Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Take the Black Live, the one and only show on the internet. We talk about all things sci-fi, fantasy, and books, movies, TV, robots, dragons, swords, etc. And the only live podcast on the internet where you get more out of it if you like, subscribe, and comment. I'm Dan Selke, the editor of winterscoming.net. Here with Daniel Roman, the other editor of winterscoming.net. Daniel, how are you, etc. and so forth?
Dan, I am shook. I'm so ready to talk about the stuff we're going to talk about today. I've been in a daze. I've been I've been staring into the middle distance since Monday. Let's put it that way. Dan, how are you? How are all of you in the chat? Good to see you.
Yeah, good to see you, Data Racer, Trent Hegemer. I agree, Trent. Let's ride. So this is mainly a Westerosi Game of Thrones with Dragons kind of podcast. We'll talk about other stuff too, but today we do have for you a spoiler-free, sorry, Data Racer, review of the next episode of House of the Dragon. Comes out on Sunday. We'll talk about other things as well, but I wanted to touch on that first because we are very cool and exclusive and great. We get to see these episodes before they actually air. Thank you, HBO. HBO, look at me. I love you. So please keep doing that and please keep giving the episodes early. And man, I was more excited than usual to talk about this upcoming one. We don't have a title yet, by the way. They've been keeping the titles to themselves. Because, Daniel,
we have a tentative one, right? We have a reported title for this one, but it hasn't been confirmed yet. I don't
you
know how
to think so. I forgot. Maybe.
It was a Dance of Dragons. Redanian Intelligence reported on this last year. So it's been floating around for a while, but we won't know for sure till it airs. It is. Yeah. I wonder why they've been keeping them so close to the chest. You have any theories?
No. I mean, they released the picks on time and early. They released the episodes to us critics on time and early. So I don't know. I'm sure it makes sense to them. And anything that makes sense to them makes sense to me because I love them so much.
Exactly.
And precisely. If we can talk to you and Mitchell Time Glenn Carney on the interview and get him on the show, that'd be great too. But anyway, we've seen the episode and I want to talk about it because, Daniel, if I'm being 100% real truth right now, the second season of House of the Dragon has felt I've had a kind of a trouble getting myself into it and really getting on the hype train. It's built up. I've liked each episode more than the last, but I'm just going to tell you, and again, this is spoiler free, so we're not going to tell you what happens. Although you can probably figure out some stuff if you're like, look carefully. This episode really sort of blew the back of my head off. I feel like the season needed this. I feel like it ties the season together in a lot of ways. It retroactively makes some other scenes better, in my opinion. And it's not a secret. This is going to be a big battle episode. Going to be the Battle of Rook's Rest. I'm not spoiling that. I feel like that's been deduced a long time ago.
We've known that for like a year. Yeah.
I won't tell the details, but we know Criston Cole's on the march. We know he has an army at his back. We know he's going somewhere. And just most minor of spoilers, that army will be used in some kind of way. Game of Thrones has a long history of these big battle episodes, from the Battle of the Bastards to the Massacre at Hardhome to Blackwater to the Loot Train of Tech. And this is House of the Dragon's first swing at that. And I gotta say, I think they smash it. And I think they do what the Game of Thrones battles always say, which is add something new. I won't say what it is. But this doesn't feel like anything Game of Thrones ever did, but it still has that scale that we've come to expect from it. I think it's a really big success, this episode, and I'm eager to see what people think of it when it airs on Sunday.
Yeah, I'm so glad you said that about it, adding something new. I agree with that. I really loved this episode. This is the first time this season that I watched an episode. I sat numbly on my couch for 10 minutes.
It's a good feeling.
I wandered the forest, staring into the middle distance for another 20 minutes, and then I immediately rewatched it. Because I legitimately haven't been able to stop thinking about it. I saw it 2 days ago. So we do have a question in the chat that is kind of along the lines of what you were saying, from Millie Acera, which is, the real question is, does it live up to the hype of episode 4, and or does it compete or equal Battle of the Bastards? Now, I tweeted about this episode yesterday or a few days ago, and that's a question I've seen a lot, is does it compare to Battle of the Bastards? So I've been thinking about this because obviously we can't talk any details, can't talk any spoilers. But it's not a spoiler to say there is a battle. It's in the trailer or whatever. So what I will say about this is that battles in Game of Thrones each served a very specific purpose. Some of them were like an episode long battle episode, like the Blackwater, where it's showing the two sides and it's just focused there.
Love that.
Battle of the Bastards was like a pitched medieval battle on even terrain, and how horrifying and dehumanizing that is. You know, Hardhome was the horror of White Walkers and whites. The Long Night was a literal apocalypse. So each one of these does something different, like you said, Dan. And I think I'm just going to call it A Dance of the Dragons, with the disclaimer that that may not be the episode. It may not be the final title, but that's what I think that's what it's going to end up being. I think this similarly does something unique for House of the Dragon, like you said. And I do think, does it compete with Battle of the Bastards? I don't really want to touch that, but I do think this is as important an episode for House of the Dragon as any of those big battle episodes were for Thrones. Like, this, it is obvious they bet big on this one. And like, if you know the source material, it's obvious why they would do that. So yeah, that I really loved it. And yeah, I'm not going to talk about episode minutes, lengths, anything like that, but this is a juicy episode. There is a lot in it, is what I will say.
It's sometimes, because House of the Dragon is like Game of Thrones, but it's different. It has its own identity. And I don't know, sometimes it's been, now that the show is more like Game of Thrones and less and kind of different, like season one was like skipping ahead in time. It just felt like a different show, and it is a different show. But now it feels more like Game of Thrones because we're all in one time. Yeah. We have different split like points of view. I don't know. Sometimes I feel like it's come up lacking. Not all the time. I've enjoyed a lot of what they've done. You're right. You can tell they put a ton of effort into this one. They were really hinging on this to be like a linchpin, and it is. And
yeah, it is.
I don't think like the comparison is it as good as Battle of the Bastards? Love the comment. I think, like I said before, I think it's, how can you deliver an action sequence that kind of lives up to the excitement that those kind of battles give, but also do something different with it? Because I don't want like just another Battle of the Bastards. I want what's the next thing. And this is the next thing. Very, very exciting. And someone asked about the dialogue. Is it any good? It's been a little wooden last week. I think the dialogue has been quite good this season, especially, I mean, it's
It
goes up and down, you know, like any TV show. Like episode 2 had some great stuff. When Daemon and Rhaenyra fought, that was great. There's some great stuff in here. There's an Aemon Aegon scene that I really thought was delightful. I've been loving Aegon a lot this season. I've really been enjoying that.
Yeah.
The bit
I have
where,
a feeling,
like,
I know which one you mean.
It's like the one. Here's a spoiler really for you. I will give you this. I'll give you one minor spoiler that I'm sure is probably, I'm just going to risk it.
High Valyrian flying close to the sun.
Oh, it's fine. High Valyrian returns in this episode. We got people speaking a fake fictional language.
Yes.
And I get some good mileage out of it. Well, let's go over some of these comments because, yes, Bushmaster, I did notice that at some point, like, I had some comments on Twitter or X or whatever. It's like I tweeted, like, oh, this is going to be the most amazing episode. And someone was like, who infiltrates whose castle this time? And all three episodes have kind of ended with somebody sneaking into the castle to do something.
They have.
This breaks formula, which it is kind of a thrill. Like, it's, I think it's the first episode this season. Also, another spoiler, I guess. Sorry, I hope this doesn't go over the line. To not end on Alicent or Rhaenyra. So that's a sign of, like, the cast is getting bigger. They're getting more confident in having more characters be able to hold down important scenes, which I think is a really good sign of a show that is on the grow, that has a deep bench to work with. That's important for a show, like, especially a Game of Thrones prequel show.
It is.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big this summer with great deals, all in the Kroger app. Get select varieties of Powerade or Body Armor Super Drinks for 79 cents each. Then get a 2-pound package of strawberries for $2.99 each, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What other kind of comments do we got here? Did Sunfire look good, or were you disappointed in his design? Asked Bloodraven. Daniel?
Yeah, again, this is not a spoiler because we see Sunfire in the trailer.
Yeah.
I was not disappointed with Sunfire's design. I thought Sunfire looked real cool. This show is just doing an amazing job with its dragons, you know, knowing that that was kind of one of their original missions, to do dragons in more unique ways than just thrones, where it was kind of like they copy pasted Drogon three times and then did a different color swatch. They definitely are pulling that off really, really well still into this season. So it's funny, like not even just with, well, let me ask you before I go on my tangent. Did you think? Did you like Sunfire's design, Dan?
Yeah, he looked great. I mean, if I always worry in books when they write anything as like the most blank world, like the most beautiful dragon in the world. It's kind of like, how do you live up to that? Okay. He looks really good.
Yeah, yeah.
My biggest pet peeve with that is when like a Robert Jordan or some author or Andrei Sapkowski writes like, she was the prettiest, most beautiful, buxom, gorgeous woman in the world. And because my problems that are twofold, like it sounds a little finishy.
Yeah, yeah.
And then when you adapt it, you get these like people being like, well, she's not that pretty, which I really, that's a pet peeve of mine. Stop doing that. It sounds a little
thankfully
obsessive. Sunfire looks great.
Thankfully, whoever they cast as Sunfire did not need to deal with that level of internet hate of being told they were not pretty enough to be the dragon Sunfire. I hard agree with that, especially Sapkowski. It's like, it's so distracting in his books. I enjoy them, but like every female character that comes on screen or on page, he's describing by their their beauty or lack thereof. I think Bushmaster, I think we should watch and find out to Bushmaster's question about sizes. I think that's one you will see
sizes
when the episode airs.
Wait, no. We can answer that one. We all know that Vhagar's the biggest dragon in the world. So, yeah.
Yes.
That's not a spoiler. I mean, he's been established that Vhagar's freaking huge. Yes, Vhagar is ginormous, bigger than either of those other guys. They're still big, though. It's just so exciting.
Yeah.
You'll see it.
It's funny. I feel like, so again, since like posting about this, since talking to people about this, another like really common sentiment I've seen is like, don't overhype it. You're going to set expectations way too high for this. And like, honestly, I just don't think that's possible here. like, don't expect it to maybe change your life or anything. But at the same time, like, it's hard for me to imagine anyone with two eyeballs and a sense of wonder not enjoying the episode we're about to get this weekend. You know what I mean?
It'll go over well. Yeah. There was somebody who like saw all four episodes on Twitter. I forget who it was. I think it was like Tower of the Hand or something, who ranked them like episode four was second behind two. And I was like, oh, okay, that's interesting.
Madness.
Then I watched this and I'm like, I don't know. To me, this is the best season so far. And I think the other parts are good too. Malik has a really good question that I'm very happy to answer. Were there any signature House of the Dragon character accidents/misunderstandings or out of character actions that either take away from agency of the characters and make them look very stupid in this episode? And the answer is, I'm very happy to report, no. This was awfully close to the book version. There is one motivational change, but it utterly fits with the character. I want to spoil everything, but
No, that's as far as you should take it.
I was really excited that this episode did seem to just kind of dive in head first. I've been wanting that. I've been wanting like to break through a wall, and it felt like they kind of did. So I was enjoying that.
Yeah, Millie, yes, Twitter is going to be very, very fun.
It'll
this
be a good
Sunday,
time.
Seeing everyone's reactions. Yeah, I think it's a big episode for House of the Dragon. And I'm kind of curious, you know, we've known more or less the events that, or at least the big event that is coming in episode four for quite a while. But it is interesting. It's exciting to me that we don't really know too much about what's going to come after episode four.
True.
Like, there's really one procession scene in King's Landing that we saw behind the scenes photos for that is most likely going to be in episode five, I would guess. But beyond that, like, I think they filmed a lot of the last three episodes on closed sets, so we just don't really know, and that's really, really cool. Dre says, who are your favorite characters in this episode? It's so hard. I just don't want to spoil anything, you know what I mean?
Oh, I can say without any kind of spoilers, I will say I've been loving the crap out of Aegon this season. He's my new favorite character.
Yeah.
I love how messed up he is. I love how troubled he is. I love how he seems to earnestly want to do a good job, but he just isn't ready for it. He's too compromised. He has too many weird hangups in his head. He doesn't have experience, but he tries and he drinks and he's been sympathetic and he's been loathsome. And I just did a good job with him. So I really liked him a lot, but there are a bunch of others. A lot of folks shined in this one.
This is
which
an ensemble.
I haven't always seen. So it's good. And by the way, please don't. We're not going to spoil. I'm trying to not do it. Millie says, they also someone pointed out that it was Voice of Old Town who ranked this episode's fourth through number two. Yeah, you're right. Thank you. That was good. And just I disagree, but I do love that account. Millie says they love 1, 2, 3. Felt like a lot of filler episodes, and the fact that Rhaenys' nose war is notable but super slow. Really needed it. I kind of agree. This episode is needed. It's needed. And I'm looking forward to the reaction. Also, I want
like
to remind
the pacing
all
of
you
all.
Wonderful new people who are here to, if you like what we're saying, we do this all the time. Go ahead and subscribe and like and comment. Why not? What do you have to lose? Go on, Dan.
I will say, It's so funny because I've seen an awful lot of the chatter of it's been slow, it's been dragging, it's been filler. I haven't minded the. I think the pacing has been really good for me personally. Like, it's gonna like people don't be too excited to speed toward the absolute tragedy that is the vast majority of the Dance of the Dragons. So I've liked the pacing as a whole, but I do agree with you. What is coming this episode has been much needed. It's a big episode, and I cannot wait to see people's reactions to it, honestly.
I feel like we are overhyping it almost.
Nah, we're not. Okay, so I feel like there was one thing I wanted to hit, and this is not about the new episode. So are we good to discuss some other House of the Dragon stuff now, Dan?
Yes,
what do you think?
Sure thing. I think we said all we can without spoiling it. We can't spoil it, everybody watching. We really, really liked it. You'll have to leave it at that, and you'll see the rest on Sunday.
Someone, it's down too low in my chat now to see, but someone asked, I think it was Bushmaster, what our opinion is on the Daenerys dragon egg change. Mm-hmm. So just a little bit of context here for viewers or listeners, audio listeners who may not know the deets with this. So basically in Fire and Blood, it is pretty strongly hinted that Dany's dragon eggs were stolen by a woman named Alyssa Farman during the reign of King Jaehaerys. Alyssa was having a love affair with a person named Rhaena Targaryen, not the one from House of the Dragon, a different one. And basically... get new names, House Targaryen. And Alyssa, their relationship soured. Alyssa stole 3 dragon eggs to go finance building her own ship. She sold them to the Sea Lord of Braavos. They got passed around and eventually probably ended up in Illyrio Malpatis's possession in Pentos. It's kind of like the book, strongly hinted book lore. The show has changed that. So when we saw Rhaena Targaryen, different Rhaena Targaryen, House of the Dragons Rhaena Targaryen, played by Phoebe Campbell, Rhaenyra's 3 youngest children to the Vale. She also took 4 dragon eggs. It has been confirmed by the director of this episode, Geeta Patel, that three of those eggs are Dany's. So with that backstory out of the way, let me pitch this to you, Dan. What do you think of that? That's a pretty big change.
I don't think it's a pretty big change. I think it's kind of weak. I mean, it's fine. It's fan service. It's a little lame. I don't think it's a huge change. They'll disappear for decades and decades. They'll end up in Daenerys' hands eventually. I would have preferred they just stay true to the normal stuff. I don't think you got to do that. But I don't like it. But I'm fine with it. And I'm at peace.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting, like, I looked back at Fire and Blood, because I didn't remember all the details of the whole Alyssa Farman story very well, and Rhaena Targaryen, the older Rhaena Targaryen, lived a hell of a life, so I feel like I don't mind this change much, so long as the lore of her still living the life she had is still intact in the show somehow, and I hope it clarifies that at some point, because, like, she was one of Maegor the Cruel's like polygamist wives who he forced to marry her, and then she helped overthrow him, and then she took another husband who she fed to her dragon, and then she refused to take another husband. So like there's a whole crazy life that woman had that led to those 3 eggs getting stolen that I think, you know, in the book is so rich and so juicy. Obviously, the fan service element. I agree with you. It does feel like we're really going to, are we stretching this a bridge too far? But at the same time, they're never going to do a Jaehaerys the Conciliator show. So, like, I can understand the urge to be making these threads linking this show to Game of Thrones, not knowing if they'll ever even get to make other different Targaryen prequels. Even though, like,
they don't need it,
they're gonna make more.
Why not save it for an Alyssa Farman show or Targaryen show? They don't need it, so just save it. So just be accurate if you can. My rule is, if you can be accurate to the source material, do it. If there's a compelling reason to change it, okay, sure. But if it's not a compelling enough reason, and I don't think this qualifies as a compelling enough reason, I mean, why change it?
Well, so here's my theory. I'm going to put on book reader cap for a second. So there will be some spoilers for Fire and Blood here. They needed more for Rhaena Targaryen to do, because Rhaena just kind of gets shipped off to the Vale in the book. And then she just kind of like doesn't do a lot until near the end of the Dance of the Dragons. So we've heard rumors, and these are unsubstantiated. I don't know that they'll pan out, and I don't have a lot of faith in them. But the rumbles are there that Rhaena may have some of the book material that a character's name Nettles had in the book. I hate this. I hope it doesn't happen. But basically that she would try to, endear herself to a dragon in the Vale by feeding it sheep, which is like Nettles' whole backstory. I don't know that they're going to go that route, but I think having Rhaena get the eggs and knowing the eggs will eventually go missing because they have to end up with Illyrio somehow. There is a big ship related thing that has to do with the gullet that some of Rhaenyra's kids are mixed up in the book. I'm trying to say this as unspoilery as possible. I don't remember exactly how much Rhaena is involved in that, but I have a feeling they're going to make Rhaena and the eggs a much more central part of it, where we could see the eggs go missing during that. And then one of the free cities are also involved in this. And then that could be how they end up over in Pentos or Braavos. Which would make it a whole big plot line instead of just an Easter egg, you know?
Rhaena brings three eggs into the book, so they can't be Daenerys's eggs. No matter how big of a plot point this becomes, it's still a plot point based around a prop that won't be important for over 100 years after the show is done. Yeah. It cannot be emotionally significant in any other way than, ooh, it's that thing from that other show that I liked. That's not development. That's bad.
Yeah.
If you want to give Rhaena more to do, you explore who she is and what her decisions and thoughts do for this story. Like, when you do that, I never watched Solo, a Star Wars story. Remember, like, folk were making fun of the way that movie would kind of like make a big deal out of, I don't know, he like got Han Solo's jacket or blaster or some stupid incidental prop that like people remember. Like, that's doesn't help you for this thing you're doing. Like, you need to do something for this story. Although I will say, I think they're getting mileage out of the whole like Song of Ice and Fire, Aegon's dream thing, because it is a new sort of thing and it does help the characters motivate. But this, I don't see it. So I think it's it's whatever. It's lame. It's dumb. They shouldn't have done it, but it's fine.
I think it's early days too. That's my gut reaction now too. But also I am like, I have to see what they're going to do with it, because I do think the idea of Rhaena being like carrying the hope of House Targaryen, aka these eggs that are going to eventually end up with Dany, that does also kind of fit thematically with Rhaena's own stuff with her own dragon, which, like, again, this is a book spoiler, but there's a dragon named Mourning who's essentially represents that for House Targaryen by the end of the dance. There's an interesting thematic parallel there, but yeah, it's definitely a jury is out. Jury's very hard out.
This jury's in. Rhaena I pronounce the show guilty.
All right, Dan's jury.
It's guilty.
Yeah. Okay. Fair.
But yeah, that's that. Okay. We'll move on in a second. But Urtek has a question. We've seen it before. We have. What's the first word you guys murmured by yourself as soon as the credits started to roll? Thank you. I think I murmured, Jesus, tap dancing Christ, hot damn. How about you, Daniel?
Swearing here, I definitely went, holy fuck, that was insane. as soon as the episode ended, I very vividly remember it. So, yeah, it's a good one. It's a good
You're
one,
all
y'all.
Going to enjoy it.
Yeah.
Okay, other than this, I know that other Game of Thrones House of Dragony things, I know they're going forward on A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms. That's in the works. They're making that. That's about it.
Wait, can I answer one quick, super quick question before we carry on? Leo said those dragons really lasted all those centuries and still hadn't hatched. Make sense. So that is from the lore of Fire and Blood. And the eggs are actually older in Fire and Blood. And they basically say if they take them away from like the heat of volcanoes on Dragonstone, or they're in a place where they're not getting the proper amount of heat, they'll probably turn to stone, which Dany's eggs are stone when she first gets them. So we have an answer for that one.
And I'll give you a more condescending answer. When it's a fictional animal, I don't know. That's how dragon eggs work. They're not real.
Fair.
So I guess dragon eggs in this world, they're made up. Their eggs can calcify then hatch later.
Yeah.
I guess would be my response to that.
Magic.
Sorry if that was sniping and catty and bad. All right, Daniel, let's move on to some other things beyond House of the Dragon, because there are some other things happening in the world of TV movies, film, books, aside from fantasy. Actually, we're kind of in quite a good era of TV right now. We were in this huge push earlier this year when there was like Fallout and Three Body Problem and Shogun on. And now we are blessed to be watching House of the Dragon, The Boys, and Interview with the Vampire.
Boys is
which
so
just
good.
Wrapped up. Yeah. By the way, I'll spoil those too. I saw the end. I watched the rest of the season of The Boys. I think it was last week too. Whatever. Say it again. I think folk will be very happy with the final episodes of The Boys season 4 too. That also wrapped up very nicely.
I've been really enjoying The Boys this season.
Yeah, it's been
Can't wait.
Also,
for the
Acolyte.
Next one.
The Acolyte's on to show us how bad it could be. Interview with the Vampire has been
harsh.
It's been a pitched year. If I had to say Interview with the Vampire or Shogun are my favorite shows of the year so far, Interview with the Vampire wrapped up its second season this past Sunday, and again made me want to dye my face like ghost white, apply black eyeliner, put in fake fangs, and like get Anne Rice books. Wear like a black Liberace costume and lounge and by candlelight reading novels. It was so good. It is so suffused with kind of gore, moody, baroque sort of excess, and also incredibly romantic. Like this show about vampires tearing the necks out of human beings ends up being a love story, the true sense of the word, and a really affecting one. Like I feel like a lot of stories these days are very, I don't know, they're written by modern people who have a sense of irony and kind of distance. Like this show really embraces the idea that love can take over your body and mind and make you do crazy things and make it make sense, as Leo put it. And really sell me in the idea these people are madly, dangerously, unhealthily in love with each other. It really is a story about love and also vampires. I love this show. I loved it a lot. Jacob Anderson as Louis, a vampire, Grey Worm from Game of Thrones, knocking it out of the park. And I want to see more. But Bradley, this show convinced me, and I know our boss, Natalie, to go and buy some Anne Rice books I've never read. So I am now officially a Vampire Chronicles convert. I'm going to read the Vampire Chronicles because I loved this show so much.
Yeah, that's awesome. I still need to watch Interview with the Vampire. We talked about this last week, but mainly because I don't have AMC Plus. So when it comes to Netflix, I will watch it. Maybe one day I will subscribe for a month because I do really want to see it. And it does sound like they really did it justice. You know, the book has been around since the 80s. And 70s. Like, it's 70s? Okay. Yep. It's been around a while. Yeah. So, but it's almost kind of funny to me because, you know, it's great hearing you talk about it as a love story because obviously it is, but I don't think that before this iteration of it, that would be the first way people would describe story. You know, the movie, which is also faithful to the book in its own way. Like they've both got their, you know,
I love the movie.
the movie is not bad. By Anne Rice was kind of famously against some of the choices of the movie, like casting Tom Cruise. Yeah, she was super against Tom Cruise's Lestat, and then she saw him as Lestat and was just like, I was wrong. He's perfect.
Yeah, Brad Pitt's the one who sucked.
Yeah, which, I mean, Brad Pitt, he brought, Louis is a mopey character in the book, and it seems like Jacob Anderson's Louis is a much meatier character than either, like, OG book Louis or the movie one.
I do like Kirsten Dunst's Claudia more than Delaney Hayes' Claudia in season two. It's very different, just because they had to cast like an older actor in order to like have them work all these hours, is my guess. And there's just something so creepy about like a literal 9-year-old doing these things that you do kind of lose a bit when she's like 15. Yeah. I liked her a lot though. And I mean, believe me, and toward the end, they really hammer home the emotional high points and it really, really works. And I know they couldn't actually do it with a 9-year-old to like go that hard, that long. But I don't know that there is that there's just something unavoidably unsettling about the original, like she's a little kid.
Yeah, I think that's really fair. It's kind of like the trade-off of, you know, you're gonna get an actress like Delaney Hayes who can work longer hours, scenes, and maybe stretch her acting chops in even more insane ways. But like you said, you lose the, you know, they got that lightning in a bottle with Kirsten Dunst of, we found an actual very small child. Because like Claudia's whole thing is, here's an immortal being in a body that looks like barely bigger than a toddler, like a 10-year-old. And how unsettling is that? So they actually managed to find a young actress who could pull that off with Kirsten Dunst.
But light in a bottle. But I will say the actress Delaney Haynes is very, 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 very good. And I really liked her.
That's awesome.
The whole show was great. I agree with everybody in here. Vlatra says it kept ramping up and the finale actually paid off. There was mythology stuff that I'm interested in. There was kind of climactic things in the story to the love story, to the kind of winding backroom, like narrative switching they kept doing that really paid off. There was just,
it sounds like they really nailed fashion, the Armand.
Betrayal. I don't want to get into it too deeply because we don't have
much
time in the world. Every character was very, very well serviced and it worked on a lot of different levels. I loved the finale. I love the season. I love the show and I want more and I can't wait for more. And yeah, I'm going to read some Anne Rice books now. And then I'm going to go
to my
parents' house and I'm going to be in goth makeup and, they're going to tell me, come to dinner. And I'm going to be like, no, a vampire. I'll go live that teenage fantasy that I missed out on the first
time. Nice. I'm happy for you. I hope it brings you much joy, but not too much joy because you're supposed to be melancholy. Yes. So interview, you have anything else you want to say about interview?
Because
you've been
loving it. I love it. If you haven't watched it, I really, really recommend it. It's coming to Netflix at some point. Cool. We're not sure when.
Yes. Yeah, and here's a funny thing I learned that I thought you might appreciate, Dan, because you know me. I always stand for the little show that could, named Black Sails. I found out that one of the writers from Black Sails worked on Interview with the Vampire Season 2. So there are probably some similar DNA things there because, Black Sails. Some of the things you've said about Interview...
Do you know which one?
...make me think... which writer? Not off the top of my head, but I can find it if you want to tell us what else you've been watching.
It's not that. Okay. What else are we watching? Our next section. What are we watching? What are you watching? Please tell us in the comments. We'd love to know. Because I have somehow found time for things other than Interview with the Vampire, The Boys, and House of the Dragon. The big thing I started. Well, okay. I'll say I am still watching The Acolyte, and it's just. I mean, it's just not really working. It's just too...
Did you watch the new one?
I did. Yeah, I watched the new one. They're easy to watch. They're like a half hour at most. It's just a little too thin. There's just not enough meat to it. The main characters, the Osha and May, seem to like switch motivations every episode. There's not like much to grab onto of like interesting characters to really want to follow. it just doesn't work. There's two episodes left. We're like 6 out of 8 done, and they still haven't found like a really compelling through line. Yeah. It happens. Not every show could be a hit.
All right. So the Acolyte, I thought the last episode, so the 6th episode, was, I think it's like the most interesting the show has been. It still has issues. I'm still borderline hate watching it at times, but I do think it was one of the better episodes of the show.
I agree.
It's the most I've liked Osha in the show, like full stop throughout the show. But it is interesting because even though it's the most I've liked Osha, it's also the least I've liked May in terms of like the writing of May in those scenes.
They can't get a handle on that one.
It does to me say there is something about the handle of the characters not being quite on that, you know, whichever version of Amanda Stenberg is acting with the Sith characters is just better than whichever version of Amanda Stenberg is acting with the Jedi characters. And that is not a, you know, that doesn't scream intentional to me. That screams there's something not quite clicking that is the case. Because it's not just like Osha sucks and May's cool. It's whichever one happens to be in whichever place is more interesting.
I agree.
You know, Manny Jacinto, he's great. He plays the villain, Khmer / the Stranger, who may be related to the Ranger. Knights of Ren somehow, rather than just a straight Sith.
Super.
Super. I know you cared a lot about that. He's really, I think he is killing it. He's, you know, he's probably like the main draw for watching for me right now. And I did rewatch the big lightsaber fight episode. And I do think the actual choreography of that episode was probably some of the best lightsaber stuff since the prequels. That was really cool. But yeah, the Acolyte, you know, like you said, Dan, we have 2 more episodes left. It's still kind of mid for me. I appreciate that they're trying to do something different instead of just like, let's do Solo, you know, like let's find some tangential thing related to the Skywalker saga and do it. Like, fine, I'll give you like the credit that you're at least trying to make a totally new story. But yeah, it is not quite landing for me either. You know, next week is a flashback too, right? Did you know that?
I do not, no. Great. The first time.
Yeah, the directors they had, so they shoot in blocks, so one director does 2 episodes. They had the same director for episode 3, which was the first flashback, and episode 7. So it's kind of like widely being assumed it's going to be another flashback episode next week because the pacing. Who needs pacing? The pacing has been really making it hard for me, honestly.
Oh yeah. As Data Racer said, I think to get Andor season 2, phenomenal show. Andor is like the Star Wars show that proves that it doesn't have to be like this. Like, obviously, these folk are capable of making a good Star Wars show. So why are we getting things like this? We're kind of getting a little track. I love getting off track. Disney was in this period where they were just shotgunning Star Wars and Marvel shows like crazy.
Yes.
Before
it's a Disney problem.
Chopic was out and the former CEO Bob Iger came back in and he said, we got to slow this down. I feel like the Acolyte is kind of a project greenlit at the tail end of Disney's machine gun period. And that hopefully things will even out going forward. But we'll see. I just want to say really quickly.
Yeah, I think.
Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think you're right. I think Acolyte and Skeleton Crew are kind of the end of that regime's green lighting spree. So I think after Skeleton Crew, it's going to be interesting to see what they do next in terms of new things.
What about it? I also wanted to say, and folk out there are watching Dark Matter, which I've heard a lot of good things about, so I might have to check that out. Trade King,
Same.
Evil, Long Running Things, The Lazarus Project, Robert Harris, always fun. Leo's watching My Adventures with Superman. I'm actually watching that one too. I have a weakness. My guilty pleasure has always been animated DC shows. I'm watching them well into my 30s. They're always fun.
No shame.
What? Stop judging me. No, there's a little bit of shame, but mostly it's been a fun time. I also started up Severance on Apple TV Plus, which I think you really loved, if I'm not mistaken.
I did. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. that show with Adam Scott, where your consciousness is split between your work life and your home life, and you don't remember anything. And when you're out of work, you don't remember anything you did at work. And when you're at work, you don't remember anything you do at home. And it's a cool little sci-fi twist. Got some humor in there. Ben Stiller is directing it for some reason. So it's a good, eerie, intriguing balancing act. And I'm about like a few episodes in, really liking it so far. So I'll keep up with that as well.
Cool.
Any other thing you want to mention before we move on to the weekend news lightning round?
What else have I been watching? Those are probably the big things. Or reading. I'm still reading Mirrored Heavens, which is the third book in Rebecca Roanhorse's Mesoamerican fantasy series Between Earth and Sky. It's still really excellent. I've just been going a little slower than usual because it's House of the Dragon season and we got dragons to be watching. But that's those books. God, they're so freaking cool. So I just need to shout this out for our House of the Dragon stands. One of the main characters of that show has such a vibe that reminds me of like Aemond a little bit.
Ooh, fun.
His name is Serapio. He's a blind priest who serves this crow god, and he has a very dark like destiny that's kind of foisted upon him, and he's trained to fulfill it from the time he's like a little kid. He never had a chance at a normal life. He's blind because I think his mom, if I remember right, literally sewed his eyes shut as part of this. So like, yeah, very dark, but like he's got like a sort of quiet stillness and poise that it just really reminds me of Aemond, or if you've played Warcraft, like Illidan, Stormrage, like that type of character. Even though Illidan's, you know, he shouts and stuff quite a lot. He's not quite as quiet and poised as Aemond, but Serapio is. So there's my rec there.
Very cool.
The one other thing that I need to tell you about, Dan, and anyone who's listening who maybe likes video games, I've been playing Elden Ring because the new DLC just dropped.
My part.
I am not
playing
the DLC. Oh, have they? Enjoying it?
Yes. I'm watching it. I don't want to play it because I beat that game completely and I sunk way too many hours of my life into it, and I guess I liked it, but I also was tortured by it. So I'm just gonna watch this
Fair.
One. I'm done. I respect it and appreciate it, but I think I'm done.
Yeah, I think that's real fair. So let me tell you my stupidity that I realized after the fact. I booted up Elden Ring for the first time since I beat it because, similarly to you, I enjoyed it. I sunk a lot of hours in the post game, exploring the world and getting all the little things. And then I forgot that the very last thing that I did in Elden Ring as a like level 200 character was I started New Game Plus, which means that I can't access the DLC until I go all the way back to Moog, who's this boss that's like 2/3 of the way through the game, unless you speed run it in some crazy way. So yeah, that's where I'm at. I'm at the beginning, whether I like it or not. And The Lands Between is always
a
good time.
You need to go look up a YouTuber named Carbot, who has been doing for like years now, these like minute long animations of Elden Ring, of like little funny, cute videos about just like how hard it is and how terrible it is and how funny that is to watch.
I think I've seen
Carbot.
Some of them.
Look at those. They're really, really good.
Yeah.
Okay. A couple quick comments before we wrap up. Booker gave up on the game a long time ago. Betrayed King says that Severance is a Twilight Zone episode, special new miniseries. Maybe, but I'm enjoying it. I think it's such a bad thing.
Kind of see that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Laura asks who wrote the fourth episode of House of the Dragon. I don't think I can say that. No, can't say it. That's too far over the line.
I don't think so either. Yeah, I don't think they've actually confirmed it.
Before we move on, that there's word that the third season of House of the Dragon is getting its ducks in a row to film in Cáceres, Spain, possibly early next year, which could mean that other things are filmed earlier, like late this year. The sooner the better.
Yeah.
I know they have Night of the Seven Kingdoms lined up to fill the gap, but I'm just going to say what I've been saying for a long time. Whatever studio is able to find a way to get new seasons of these giant tentpole fantasy, sci-fi, special effects dramas out every year will win. What do they win? I don't know.
Yes.
You find out, but they'll win.
It's insane that that has become the, you will win if you can do this. And I so agree with you, because like, I think you wrote this report today and I could only just like groan and be like, what are we doing here? That Wednesday. So Wednesday season two
three
is
years.
In production right now. And it's going to end up being like 3 years between the first and second season. And it's like, that's like, you know, that's the distance between George Lucas, like Star Wars movies, like the prequel trilogy. Those are 3 years apart. Like, okay. Doing that for seasons of television is unhinged. Especially for shows like that, like, you know, Bridgerton's another one. They're getting 2 years between seasons. Like, Stranger Things. Yeah, they're taking a long time. That's one of the few where I don't mind it, because one, they're on their last season. Take a little extra time. But they're also like, Stranger Things to me is almost towing the line format wise, where it's not quite your usual television show. You know, they have movie length episodes at this point, some of them, like literally movie length. So they're like almost somewhere in between television and movies in terms of format. So like, it's funny because like I saw
everything
a tweet recently
now.
That was like, did Stranger Things ruin television as we know it? I mean, not really, though, because this stuff
Game
was happening before Stranger Things. Yeah, I think did it though? Because Game of Thrones was a year apart. And then until the end. And I hate to shade it, but Westworld was the first show that I recall that was one of these big genre shows that was just like out of the gate, like, we're going to do 2 years between seasons because we need it, because our show is so big and complicated. And now all the shows saying that.
And it turned
and
out so well
truth
for them.
To it. Well, this is what you were saying about the studio that figures out how to do it yearly will benefit, because even though Westworld's quality dipped, I do think 2 years between seasons plus that quality dip is kind of what did in for it. It might have gone pretty differently for Westworld if they had actually been able to keep viewer interest by doing a season every year. Or not.
Studios.
Because it got real weird.
You are making TV. You are not making movies. If you want to make a movie, go make a movie. Stop doing this. To TV, it's going to bite you in the ass sooner or later, probably sooner. Okay, shall we hit the WIC News lightning round?
I'll just say Nicole is right too. Outlander's bad with it also. They were one of the original offenders along with Westworld. But yeah, let's do it.
Where we go through a bunch of stories we didn't have time to hit the main body of the show and give our 20-second
believe
opinions.
It or not.
Yeah, well, a lot happens. As usual, no order. I'll go ahead and ask you first. Why not? Because why not?
Ooh,
hey, Daniel.
Okay.
Here's a picture of David Corin Sweat as Superman on the set of the new film Superman going...
I think that's fun. I'm glad they're filming. It's kind of hilarious to see behind the scenes and just think about the fact that he, he's punching into the air as he's taking off, and it's like on set, like he just like hopped. But yeah,
funnier.
No, cool. Carry on, Superman. Yeah. Sweet. My take was so concise that the buzzer must have broken.
What we like
or not, buzzer heard me come in to shade it, and producer Richard said, "Not on my watch." All right, Dan. Bump bump ba bump ba 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 bump. That's the One Piece song. One Piece season two has started production.
And I was like, we were thinking like the minute he walked in the joint. Bah. All right. One Piece is in production. That's another show that has taken forever to make. Came out last year. Probably won't be out until next year at minimum. Probably next year. You know, miracle show. Good live adaptation of a manga. Doesn't happen very often. So kudos to them. Kudos for pirates. Kudos for ships. Kudos for Optimism and Dreams and Stretchy Arms. All right. Daniel.
Yes.
Here's a good one. Speaking of Elden Ring, which just brought it up for some reason, George R.R. Martin, who wrote Game of Thrones, The Song of Fire, and also did the world building for Elden Ring, ostentatiously denies, without being asked, that there is a Elden Ring movie or TV show coming. He was like, nope, don't know anything. Nope, 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 nope. I'm like, nope. What do you think?
Look, Martin is in his sunset years. He's been working the TV and book game for ages. He wants to crack cryptic hints about whatever he pleases. I do think this was hilarious because, like, Miyazaki, the game studio director, was just like, we'd have to have a really good partner to want to do an adaptation. And then Martin was like, is there an adaptation? I don't know. Do you know? Maybe, maybe not. I think that's funny. Yes. Funny. Full stop. Here's a slightly cringier, a much cringier story, but we're going to talk about it because that's what we do. 20 seconds. Give us your sensitive 20 second take. So the Umbrella Academy showrunner, Steve Blackman, has apparently been accused of creating a toxic work environment.
Yeah, it was a Rolling Stone piece drawn from like a 2023 HR complaint about him like taking credit for writer's work, about him like firing writers on maternity leave and making some lewd comments. They've pushed back, said it's all exaggerated from like disgruntled ex-employees. My sense is it's probably not a big enough scandal to really derail his career. I'm not sure if it'll go over that line to like where it's a Joss Whedon thing, but maybe we'll see. A Rolling Stone Season 4 comes out very soon. Daniel, the new A Quiet Place movie, Day One, opens and sets a domestic box office record for the franchise.
Yeah, that's great. I'm happy for that franchise. This one has, I think, Lupita Nyong'o and Joseph Quinn from Stranger Things.
Yeah.
I haven't seen these movies, but I think it's aliens. You have to be real quiet. Some kind of monsters, they'll eat you if you're loud or you have toddlers. But I've heard that the new one is very, very, very good, so I'm really happy that it's doing well for the franchise.
Cool.
Speaking of movies doing real good because cinema's not dead, Inside Out 2 is apparently the first movie of 2024 to earn $1 billion.
Yeah, it's nice. Cinema isn't dead, and that's been kind of going back and forth for a while, but with the right things, you can have a giant hit. I just like seeing a movie, apparently a good movie, do this well. I think last year we had Barbie and Mario get over $1 billion, and Oppenheimer came this close. This year, Inside Out 2, I'm going to guess Wolverine and Deadpool probably hit that benchmark. Go movies. Good for you, movies.
Man. Can I just interject? If Wolverine and Deadpool hits that benchmark, that's going to be a really big deal, I feel like, because it's an R-rated movie. And you don't see that.
Oh, right.
I don't know if we've ever had an R-rated movie do that.
Joker.
I'd have to look at numbers.
Joker did it.
Joker? Mm-hmm. Well, I didn't see that movie, so there you go. But apparently enough people did that.
Slow clap for Daniel. Didn't see Joker. Good for you.
Take that, right, Joaquin. No, I love you, Joaquin.
Right. Warner Bros. Discovery has put a Denis Villeneuve, the director of the Dune movies, a new movie from him on the schedule for 2026. Are they giving us a signal that Dune Part 3 is on the way?
Yeah, that seems to be the general consensus. It seems like that could be the case, that Warner Brothers Discovery is pushing for 2026 release for Dune Part 3. If that does pan out, I hope that Denis Villeneuve is happy about it, because I know he had said pretty publicly he just wanted to not be in the desert for a little while and maybe make something small and unambitious before Dune Part 3.
Enjoy your 3 months off.
I hope you get a good time on that vacation. I lost my train of thought. There's something flying outside the window. All right. The final, my window, Dan, not your window. That hopefully, is it a Quiet Place monster? Do they have wings? We'll never know. So this is interesting. This is some on the ground investigating from you here, I think.
I just noticed.
So
this.
Every official, I'm curious. Yeah, tell us your 20 second thought thoughts about this. Every official trailer or video about The Rings of Power Season 2 that you could find apparently has vastly more dislikes than likes.
I just noticed like the trailer had like way more dislikes than likes. And I thought, is that everywhere? And look at like the trailer released on through like other official channels, like Amazon New Zealand or whatever. And then like behind the scenes of Season 2, also way more dislikes. And I'm like, are they in trouble? Is this a sign of things to come? It's hard to separate like what's true on the internet isn't the same as what's true in real life. But the internet doesn't like it. And that is our show. Yeah. This has been Take the Black. We're here every Wednesday at 2 p.m. CST. Also, we're also live every Sunday immediately after each new episode of House of the Dragon. Come join us on Wednesdays. Come join us on Sundays. Subscribe to us, like us, comment. You guys got that part covered. We love talking with you. We love sharing our insights. We love discussing all things sci-fi, fantasy, movies, TV, books, and so forth. Thanks for watching. Thanks for being. And we'll see you very soon. Goodbye.
Take care, y'all.
This podcast is brought to you by FanSided. Join our community of over 300 sites from sports to pop culture and everything in between.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.